Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord has living words to speak to those who have ears to hear. Ears to hear is a wonderful thing. It's a blessing. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to have ears to hear. To hear the Lord out, to hear what He has to say. Now, we left the last broadcast on a good note. And I thank God for it. And He is on the move. He's mightily moving by His Spirit. We was talking about how God gives prosperity. Now, people present things in a way where you can give and it'll solve all your problems, but that's not true. That's not how God operates. Giving is one aspect of prosperity. And it can induce a miracle in your life, and it can induce also steady prosperity. If you're in business, and you're working at that business as under God, and this, to make that business thrive, the Lord has needs too that you can fulfill. He has prophets and preachers out there, and people of God that are doing something. They're giving, they're donating to the poor. They're doing things. My brother-in-law has a ministry, he and his wife, where they give clothes to the poor. Now, you can make donations to people that are already doing that, and God will remember your business and cause you to prosper. Now, I want to clear a few things up. We talked about how God multiplies knowledge and wisdom to us. First James chapter 1 says that that the Lord will give us wisdom liberally and upbraid us not. First Peter says, talks about how, 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about how the Lord, He multiplies things to us, knowledge and wisdom. They're multiplied to us. Things that create faith in us, the Word of God that gives us faith, those things are multiplied. You got to look at what the Lord multiplies and what the Lord adds. Some people, they want God to multiply things to them so bad that they read right over the fact that if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added. And nobody, I hadn't heard any messages about how anybody analyzing what Jesus said. Now, maybe some have done it, but I haven't heard many messages on how the Lord, on anybody analyzing what Jesus said. Now, I'm going to do it because the Lord prompted me to. Think about what He said. Seek first the kingdom of God, period, and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. When you study the Word, what does God want? What is He after? What is He doing? Consider those three thoughts. What is He after? What is He acting on? What is He doing? He's seeking to redeem man. But look at the first thing. When we first met God in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Period. Then it says, and the earth was void and without form. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And then we see our God say something. He said, let there be light. That's the first thing we hear God say. Now, we know He created the heaven and the earth. Heaven first and the earth, eventually. He got to the earth and He created. Then something interrupted everything. And the earth was without form, void, darkness on the face of the deep. Why? That's a good question. But it's answered on later on in Scripture. Now, from the time God started creating, everything He created was good. So that suggests something happened in verse 2. Something dangerous happened in verse 2. But we'll continue on. He said, let there be light. And God saw that the light was good. And He divided the light from the darkness. Hey, now. So when you consider God the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you got to include this fact that he chose light and rejected darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called it night. He divided it. And he's still dividing light from darkness, love from hatred, diligence from laziness. So God is not lazy. He's diligent. He's active. When it comes to redeeming man, he was always active. He even went to war for it. He fought for it, he fought and gave people victory against those that was trying to interrupt his diligent and determined acts of redemption. Anybody that worked against the redemption through Jesus Christ, God actively fought against it. Yeah, see, there were many wars that was fought trying to destroy Israel. When you see other nations trying to destroy Israel, it was because Satan was trying. He was after. He didn't know who the seed of woman was, and he was trying to figure it out. And he tried to kill every king that he could, and he tried to introduce Baal worship and destroy the nation, divide the nation against God, get them in deep sin because he knew God hated sin. These are the things that happen because Satan hates mankind and he hates God. He can't touch God, but he'll try to touch who he loves. It's kind of like when mob bosses and evil men, gangs, if you don't do what they say, they'll try to go after your family. Your family is going about their business. They try to seduce people into submission by threatening their family. Well, that's what Satan's doing with God's people. See, redemption was coming through Jesus Christ. And Satan didn't fully understand what Jesus was going to do. Because in Corinthians, it said if they had known that if they had known what would happen, they would not have crucified Christ. Satan and evil men thought that they were going to have dominion over the earth if they killed Christ. But you can't kill a person that has no sin. So, now when it comes to the Lord, he loves his people. And he's diligent in redeeming them. But and the enemy desperately tried to destroy God's people. Not only from the time that the Lord said the seed of woman would bruise his heel, talking to the serpent. And the seed of woman would bruise his head and he would bruise his heel. Well, we talked about this in many other broadcasts, but moving on, every war that was fought was against Christ. And after Christ came and died for us and defeated Satan once and for all, his people can walk in authority now. Now we have redemption and we have authority in heaven and in earth. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We have the victory. We're preaching from a position of victory. And we take the gospel everywhere. And the 144,000 of Revelation will take the gospel even further. Now, as we do things God's way, as we seek first the kingdom of God, we learn his ways and then we do his ways on earth where we are, and we make a greater difference. And just like God made the stars in the heavens over a long period of time, as we go forward in our life, as we trek this life, we leave behind a pattern of good works. And we show forth the wonders of God, the love of God, the kindness of God to every person we meet. What if we go the rest of our life living a life that honors God. That's a message all by itself. Even if we don't get to conversate with people, they know that we're good. They know that we're kind. They know that we love people. They know we have integrity. And don't think they don't watch. Working around men, if a woman come in the building that's beautiful, they'll watch to see if you're going to watch them. They're going to see if they're going to notice whether you gaze at her or not. They'll know how modest you are over time. But if you love God and you do things His way, you don't just see a person's beauty, you see the person. Your love, the love of God in you, you can see, you're able to see the whole person, not just how they look. And when you look at people with, in a godly way, with the love of God, you see the whole person. And you're doing this in public, and you see, people see how you see things. You see the same thing they see, but the way you carry yourself speaks volumes. And it's real. It's not an act. An act don't last long. When people are acting on stage, that's temporary. The way people act when they're performing is temporary. I said in the last broadcast, when people go, they behave a certain way around their friends, a certain way at work, another way at church, and then another way with their family. The older members of the family, they act one way, and the younger people around their own age, they act another way. But the people that they cling to the most, now you're going to find out what's in their heart. Now, sometimes people are sometimes friends don't respect you to be, they don't expect or respect you to be formal, because you are always in class clown mode. That's how they know you. That's what, and if that's the way it was, that's how, you know, that's what they expect. They never seen that professional side before. But when you go to work and you're in a professional atmosphere and you act professional, that can become a part of who you are. That may have been what you wanted to be, but nobody saw you that way. But in that environment, you presented yourself that way, and people respect you that way, and they know you that way. So people can develop beyond what people know you as. You can develop. And every relationship, a healthy relationship, gives people room to grow. And even in church, nobody seen the serious side of God, how you love God. The people you grew up with, they may have saw you do all kind of things. And then you had a longing to learn and grow, and as you get in God's presence, you learn of Him, and you grow. And people at church know you as a person that loves God. They're used to you talking about the Lord, when your friends and family may, you know, not so much. But relationships, people know you as you present yourself. What if you spent time with the Lord and you grew in character, and the knowledge of God grew in you, and you started presenting yourself as a man or woman that loves God? And then people they receive you as that, and you represent Him wherever you go, around your friends, around your family, around your work, the people you work with, everything. Eventually, they're reading a book. They're reading the Word of God when you're around, because you're representing God in character and in deed. and it's true. It's not rehearsed. It's not an act. But people have the ability to act. But an act won't last. But character does. Now, as we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His character becomes our character. His life gets in our life. And we become, like the words say, transformed into the image of His dear Son. And that is a blessing. That is real. That can happen as we learn to love God. Growing in the Lord is wonderful. That's the best thing that ever happened to me, beside the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps it all happen. Now, I'm saying these things to show the value of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, a lot of value is going to happen in your life. Things that I can't talk about, things that I don't even know to talk about. Good things are going to happen. Now, I thought about this between this broadcast and the last one. The sooner you start seeking the Lord. Now, a lot of people just get saved and they just kind of muddle through life. They don't really seek first the kingdom of God. They got saved and that's good, and they try to act right and they don't get in trouble, and they'll go to church, but they're not really trying to grow and learn everything they can, because they don't see the point, because the people they're around don't do it and they don't do it either. People do what they see others do. But when you have vision on the inside, you look a little deeper in life. You look a little deeper in the Word, and you ask the Lord greater questions. And that's, you know, cold religion don't try to portray God in fullness either. Cold religion will do just enough to get by. So a lot of people are doing just enough to barely get on in heaven. But if people will spend time talking to the Lord, they will get to know Him. And when you draw near to the Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, like the Word of God say, do. People are going to be attracted to you. The right people will be more so attracted to your life. Now, what if a person, they were a class clown. They just did everything. And there was a girl over there in the corner that they liked the way they looked, but they didn't like the way they act. And this girl loves God, and she wants a husband that loves God. And he really likes her too, but he's so crazy she won't talk to him. Now, what if he got saved and then he started seeking the Lord, and the deep treasures that God already put in him start coming up? Acts of kindness, sincere words of truth. He's able to detect and understand things that's right. And then when he's asked a question in class, he raised a hand and the wisdom of God pours out of his heart in her sight. Now, she's going to be more attracted to him. Not in just a physical way, but she'll see a soulmate in him. He will inspire her. And when he tries to talk to her, she'll be more receptive to him, because he's gaining rapport with her. And then as he conversate with her, he'll see God in her, just like she see God in him. Now, this couple would have been like ships in the night. But he got saved, and he started seeking the Lord, and he attracted a good wife or a good friend. Some people, they may not get married, but they'll be a good friend to you in life. Not a worldly friend, but a good friend, a true friend. Some friendships need to be in place. If you have a good friend, keep your good friends. You need them and they need you, and God needs you both. Don't let the enemy come and distract you from your best friends. People that's going to tell you right when you're right, and they'll tell you that you're wrong when you're wrong. That's the kind of friendships we need. And these are the kind of people we need in our life. Not people that go along with everything that we want to do when we're wrong. So, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not only are you more apt to attract the best candidate to marry, but also the best friends and the best business partners and the people that can do business with you. They maybe not a business partner, but they have businesses, and your business can help enhance their business. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, good things will be added to you. And the things that you struggle after will be added to you as well. And eventually you'll have the car you want to drive and the home you want to live in and all the trimmings that go with it and good relationships. You'll be able to have cookouts at your house around good friends, not people that's trying to plot and plan and do evil, but good, wholesome friends. But if you remain the class clown and you can't cut up and you're always doing things the wrong way, you'll attract that crowd too. And I have to warn you, whether you do good or bad, you'll still attract people good and bad in your life. But sincerity attracts sincerity. You're not going to always attract the right people doing the wrong thing. You're going to have to be sincere to attract the right people in your life. And when you live according to God's word and you're sincere to Him, and you're learning His wisdom, there are people that the Lord will link in your life, because you can be a blessing to them or they'll be a blessing to you, and both. There are ministries that He will link to your life. Greater opportunities always happen when you're doing the right thing. And when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that's a yielded life. You're yielding your life to God. And He'll have a chance to do His best work in you. Now, I shared in other broadcasts that prosperity is given over time. Natural prosperity. God will bless the works of your hands. This is good. This is good for you. Working is not evil. Labor is evil. when the earth was producing more weeds than things Adam could eat, that was evil. But Noah helped man out with that. We don't get as much water as we did before. So the weeds can't just overtake. We depend on rain, not the fountains of the, you know, when God broke up the great deep, then the ground became like quicksand and trapped people, and it didn't rain. Well, He doesn't use the water springs anymore, or as much as He did before the flood. We depend on rain, and we don't get as much water on the earth, so we don't have to fight the ground as much. The flood of Noah helped us out. But it's still good that we have assignments and work. You're not going to, people want to win the lottery, all right? When you win the lottery, I asked the Lord about this, whether it was evil or not. He said, well, people are getting money that don't deserve it. They didn't work for it. They just played a lot and they won. They don't deserve that money. They didn't earn it. So, see, when you earn it and you work for it, you value it different. You value things greater that you work for. That was a movie I was watching. I forgot what the name of it was. The girl's daddy, the lady's daddy was rich. He could have bought her a dozen cars. But she finished school, finished college, got a job, and she bought her own car. And her daddy said, I could have given you several cars, even greater than that. She said, but I like this one, I paid for it. Now, that statement right there left an impression on me. When you work for something and you earn it, you appreciate it. When somebody give it to you, you didn't work for it every day. You didn't go to work and earn that car. Now, I've given away some cars in my life, and I promise you. Now, they weren't the best cars in the world. But if something went wrong, people just left it on the side of the road. I was trying to help them out. But if they paid for it, they had it fixed. I'm going to tell you something else that my customers have done. They had a car, it needed painting. They fixed the bare minimum. But once I painted the car and they liked it, then they fixed everything. They wanted everything right. After I painted the car, they'll fix all the problems it had mechanically. Then they'll go and get the interior done. Whatever it needs, all the lights that was broken, they'd fix them. Because they were interested again. Now watch, people. That's how people do. Because they value it different. And when you seek first the kingdom of God, you learn to appreciate His kind of love. And when you have strong love in your heart towards people, it affects everything. It affects the way you work, the way you value people. People can be so difficult. And the love of God caused you to be so strong that your strength, your love for them can cover their behaviors. And you can love them sincerely, like God does. Now, Jesus taught us to love one another and treat people the way we wanted to be treated. To love everybody and treat people the way we want to be treated. People got saved. Now Jesus and Peter came along after people started getting saved in 1 Peter chapter 1. He taught us to love others the same way, the identical same way that Jesus loved us. Jesus laid down His life for us when we wanted to run from Him and thinking He was wrong. Because when people first tell you about Jesus, people don't always get saved. They wait a while. The word gets in them. They run from it a while. They do all kind of things. Very few people get saved the moment they first hear. Some people do, though, and stick with it. They value it right off the bat. That's good. But many people don't do that. I heard about Jesus at the age of about 10, and I got saved right before I was 20. At the age of 19, a few weeks away from my own birthday. Now, during that time, I heard about Jesus, but I was still playing with the world. And I didn't make up my mind and heart to follow God. And one day I thought about it. I said, I tried all kinds of stuff and it made me no better off. And I asked the Lord to save me. And the devil gave me a thought. He said, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. Now, coming out of the world, that's how it can look. And it looked like that could be true. I said, I don't care. I thought Satan was right. I said, I don't care. Jesus paid a price for me, and I'm going to believe on Him. And I'm going to live according to His word. And I asked God to forgive me of all my sins. And I said, I'm sorry for Him. And please wash me in Jesus' blood, and I believe on Jesus, and accept me in Your kingdom. And immediately I felt the peace of God. And I can tell you flat-footed, and I happen to be flat-footed, that I have never been bored since that moment. I don't know how God did that, but I have never been bored from the time I got saved. I've been bored before, but never have I been bored since I got saved. Now, in my case, that was a miracle. I didn't know that was going to happen, but it did. I hadn't been bored since. I can be at an office somewhere waiting on the doctor, dentist, or whatever, and there's no magazine. I'll pray. I'm not bored. And I never felt alone. If the lights go off and I can't go out and I can't watch TV and I'm in the dark, I'm still not bored. I pray. I talk to the Lord. If I'm too tired to talk to the Lord, and I go to sleep in peace. I have never been bored for one moment since that Friday, 1983, in May. I think it was the last Friday in May or the third Friday in May, 1983. I've never been bored since. Now, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, things will be added. Whatever, all the things of life that make life favorable will be added to you. And God will bless the works of your hands. Now, if you slack and don't work with your hands and you seek first the kingdom of God, if you seek first the kingdom of God, you're going to have a desire to do something with that. You can't bottle up the love of God and not do something with it. You're going to want to do something with it. So you'll be motivated to do something.